In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The book of Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, and that is still quite true. When you consider that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes could not make the connection, even though it was patently obvious to what John the Baptist was saying, "Behold the Lamb of God. He truly is the Son of God." A direct connection between what the chief priests would know was going on every day at the temple sacrifices for atonement for sin. But by the time our Lord comes and the corruption of things by virtue of the Pharisees, contrary to popular myth, the Sadducees were the conservatives, the Pharisees were actually the liberals. And the liberal mindset is always the same. It's unyielding. Look at today. If you dare speak out against sodomy, you're labeled a homophobe and you should be completely ostracized from the culture. You have to believe what they say is true. And the same dynamic occurred for the Pharisees that occurs for liberals, especially liberal Catholics and most Protestants today, that salvation is guaranteed. Once saved, always saved. Even though nowhere in Scripture is this supported. Nowhere can it be found. Many warnings about coming to know Christ and coming to baptism and then losing it, like when Peter says, when the dog goes back to its vomit, the soul that came to know Christ, that goes back to sin after knowing Christ, is in worse shape than before baptism. And that, of course, is true. So the Pharisees, in particular, couldn't understand what John the Baptist was saying. That the lamb of sacrifice, he's referring to the lambs in the temple that were sacrificed every day, and in particular on the high feast of Passover, as an indication of what the Son of God, that's how the pericope of this gospel ends, that this is the Son of God, he truly knows it. This is what the Son of God is going to do. It fulfills everything that our Lord promised in Genesis with regards to Abraham and Isaac. To this day, the Jews cannot understand that passage. They see it as a kind of cruel test of faith on the part of God. Abraham finally gets the son that he was dreaming of from his wife Sarah, and God commands him to sacrifice that son. To the Jews, it still makes no sense. Catholics, we know the truth, that it is the reality that God himself is going to do this. This is why the angel stops Abraham. And this is why the sacrifice was provided with the ram stuck in the branches. God himself provided the sacrifice, just as he did at the very beginning when Adam and Eve committed the original sin. God was the first one to do sacrifice in atonement for sin, because it is God who sacrificed an animal to put the skins that Adam and Eve would wear after their cats out of the garden. Already sacrifice necessary for salvation. And so this dynamic, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, they totally missed it. Like so many Catholics and most all Protestants today. Because of the reality of materialism, which is the same thing the Sadducees suffered from, people cannot see beyond the world in which they're in. So therefore, the Pharisees were teaching everyone, and we see this in the Gospels by virtue of how the apostles themselves often react to our Lord's teaching. They were taught by the Pharisees that when the Messiah comes, he's going to bring an army of sword-bearing angels with him, and they're going to slaughter the Romans. And then vindicate Jerusalem and Judah and put them on top of the world. They were thinking only in materialistic terms, like the Protestant gospel of wealth. If you give God, oh, say $1,000, he'll give you $10,000 later on. And people fall for this claptrap. But the reality is, it's appealing, which is why they willfully fall for it. The belief that God came to establish a kingdom on earth is not so. And this is a great flaw of failing liberal Catholicism. We're in a death spiral in our numbers. The latest numbers from 1970 to 2021, the Catholic decline is like this. People are leaving the faith in droves. Evangelicals are on an increase because it's easier. Once saved, always saved. Mainline Protestants are wavy, but similar and stable, but low. And see, this is the problem we have to face because we must wake up and recognize what is going on. That we must be true to Christ first and know who He is. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom on earth. That's the whole point of the church. A visible church, not invisible as the Protestants heretically teach. Visible church. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And this visible church with its sacramental system, the whole point of it is to make people holy so they are fit for heaven. Remember, the earth fell when Adam and Eve fell. The earth was created. The whole universe was created for man. And when man fell, it all fell. So therefore, it's corrupted in the sense that man is corrupted by his presence and his sinfulness. Which is why Peter tells us in his epistle that God himself will destroy the earth. Man's not going to destroy the earth. He doesn't have the power. God himself sets the earth on fire. And a form of transmutation occurs. And then it is reformed. And then it is joined to the new heaven and the new earth, which is the holy city Jerusalem, which is the establishment of a physical church for all eternity, with its 12 gates for each of the apostles. Judas exclusive, Matthias inclusive, or Paul, depending on your perspective. Then it will be both a pure spiritual and physical kingdom, because that's when everyone who was true to Christ will survive the general judgment and make it to the kingdom. And it's going to be established in that way. But liberal Catholics, this is why Catholics are leaving in droves, because liberal Catholics are obsessed with building the city of God on earth. That's where you get this whole notion of social justice, the worship of the poor, as though all the poor are completely righteous and true, and that if you do have anything, you need to feel awful about it. That's why the evangelicals are more successful than us, because they let their people know it's okay to be wealthy. A lot of times Catholic priests try to make people who have any money feel guilty about having money. And the church herself has plenty of it. But see, therein lies the problem. This vision of the world, this horizontal notion that it's everything that you see on the horizon is what it's all about. And forget the vertical part of the cross that leads us to heaven. The vertical part of the cross where hung the sign, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. For too many liberal Catholics and Protestants, that's gone. It's all horizontal. It's all what you see, hear, taste, and smell, and touch now. So nothing else matters. So many Catholics have abandoned their faith because of it. So many Catholics live for the world, which is why they look no different than your average heretical Protestant, or your average Jew, or your average Mohammedan, or any other so-called religion. Religion is founded, religion is that which binds us to God, religio. And only God can establish a religion. There's only one that was established by Jesus Christ, the church. The Jews indeed were, but Catholicism is a fulfillment of Judaism. That's why modern Judaism is actually younger than Roman Catholicism, because rabbinic Judaism grows out of the loss of the temple in 70 AD. But Christianity was there before 70 AD, and it took a little bit of time to reestablish Judaism without the temple worship, without the Lamb of God. And therefore they miss the connection between the Lamb of God and the Son of God, and therefore they only see the world as what matters. That's ironic too, because the Pharisees were opposed to the Sadducees, because as you remember, the Sadducees did not believe in eternal life. Do everything you can in this life because then you're dead. You can see how that reflects in some of the Old Testament books. Whereas the Pharisees believed in eternal life. Remember how Paul gets them to fight each other in Acts of the Apostles when they're about to put him on trial? And he wisely says to the Pharisees, I'm on trial because the Sadducees are mad because I don't believe in resurrection from the dead. And he started a riot because the Pharisees then started attacking the Sadducees. Wise as serpents. But consider, they allied themselves, the Pharisees and Sadducees, because of their total misunderstanding. Why is it so important to understand the misunderstanding? Because this is, again, the great danger and the chastisement that God has sent upon the church in particular. Judgment begins with the church, Peter said. And so therefore the church has been swept over by a spirit of deceit. Not in her teachings, but in her human beings. How can I say this? Well, look at it this way. We have men in the church at the highest level that have truly believe that sin is unconquerable. Which is why they're saying, you must start accepting sin. The church needs to change its teaching on certain sins. We need to not be so strong about adultery when it comes to remarriage after divorce. We need to not be so hard on couples that fornicate to practice marriage before they supposedly get married, and we know marriage numbers are dropping radically. We need to accept sodomy as a viable lifestyle. They're actually saying this in the highest levels of what we rightly call anti-church, that God has allowed to be established. For that reason alone, to test the faithful, to see if the faithful will stay true, because everyone else has run from it. Two of the three requirements for the coming of Antichrist have been met. Two of the three De Fide requirements have been met. These three must be met. A sign that Antichrist is coming. Our Lord made it very clear when the leaves are sprouting on the shoots of the olive tree, you know that spring is coming. We already have the gospel preached to all the world. We have the mass apostasy of Catholics leaving. The second largest denomination in the United States is ex-Catholics. The first right now is still Catholicism. Think about that a moment. The second largest is ex-Catholics. So people are leaving the faith in droves because they become worldly. And because God punishes them with the spirit of deceit as described in first Romans and of course in 2 Thessalonians. And the spirit of deceit we have to be careful of. Because we see the gospel preached everywhere, the mass apostasy, the last thing will happen, and this is where the Protestants and the Jews will do it. They'll raise Antichrist to his throne because the rebuilding of the temple is the third sign. God would not allow, when Julian the Apostate, the grandson of Constantine, endeavored to rebuild the temple twice, God would not permit it. Fire came up from the earth and destroyed the workers and the foundation. God will permit the rebuilding of the temple for Antichrist, because Antichrist is not a power and force on his own challenging God. Antichrist is a chastisement from God. The devil doesn't know when Antichrist is going to be born. God will tell him. God will tell him where his Antichrist is. And Antichrist will have free will. He'll be a man. He'll be a Jew. And he'll be given the freedom to choose to cooperate with the devil or not. And he will choose because of his embracing the spirit of deception, because of his arrogance and his belief that he is perfect. And our world sets a stage for that, because we live in a godless world that is teaching that God doesn't matter, there's no room for God, and that what you think and what you feel is the most important thing of all. Hence, people have abandoned the faith left and right because, well, the church teaches that what I like to do is a sin, so I'm leaving. The church requires me to do fasting. I don't want to do fasting. The church recommends mortification. I don't want to do that. I want to live a good and happy life. Father gets up there and pounds us for what we're doing wrong. I don't like that. I want Father to make me feel good. I want to feel good about myself. That's the whole point of going to church, to feel good about myself. Yes, for too many people, the whole point of going to church is about worshiping yourself. It's about raising your hands up and enjoying a song and feeling a sense of communion and camaraderie. It has nothing to do with the worship of God, but it has everything to do with the worship of man. And this is where Antichrist will take the helm eventually, because people will begin to believe that he is the perfect man. And he will convince people that God holds you back, and you'll find freedom if you abandon God. You'll find freedom if you abandon that false Messiah. He will say Christ was a false Messiah. Why? Because Christ, who never promised to build his kingdom on earth, as he told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. And that's the problem with too many Catholics. They live for this world, not for the kingdom of God. Aren't they going to be surprised when they stand for the judgment seat of Christ, thinking they should be able to get in, when they never lived for him in this life, so he's not going to force them to spend eternity with him when they didn't want anything to do with him when they were alive. But suffice it to say, this whole living for the world thing is what's so dangerous. And this is why the Antichrist will use it. And I will promote that Christ never made a perfect world, but Antichrist will. He'll end world hunger. He'll end world wars. Primarily because he'll be a dictator. And he will have false miracles that will make people believe that he truly is the Messiah. But not in the sense that he is the Christ, but in the sense that humanity is the epitome. There is no need for God. Worship me as the perfect man, and you yourselves will become perfect. Going against what Christ himself said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He'll be saying, be perfect as man is perfect. Perfect in his sin, perfect in his bestial actions, perfect in everything that appeals to man's baser instincts. That's what Antichrist will promote, and that's where too many Catholics and too many Christians are today, following only their baser instincts and not interested in the spiritual, not interested in their souls. The Pharisees did not understand what John the Baptist was saying, and they fought tooth and nail until they eventually saw Christ crucified. But he was victorious. But they still couldn't see it. We have the same thing happening today, but the punishment that will come from God will not be what people are expecting and hoping perhaps for, a slap on the wrist and then start over. It will be indeed the Antichrist, which the church says, by virtue of what God does, is a minor chastisement. Antichrist is a minor chastisement from God. No wonder Jesus said, do not fear the ones who can harm the body. Fear the one who can destroy the soul by consigning it to Gehenna. The major chastisement is the end of all things for this world. It all goes up in one big conflagration, not by man's power, but by God's power. If you live a spiritual life, you're not afraid of this. If you live a spiritualized life, you're praying for this. That's part of what we do every Advent. Pray for the end. Pray for the return of Christ. But if you're attached to the world, if you live for the world, if you live for only the horizon, then you're afraid when the sun starts going down. But indeed, if you live for Christ, the horizon and the vertical are together. The cross of Christ is everything. And you know that he was indeed victorious, and he is victorious. And that's why we're here, for the representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill, and the renewal of all those benefits, all those graces given to us every time we're here for Mass. Indeed, it's a problem for all those who don't understand or know Christ, especially Protestants, because in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, what does our Lord say? This is the will of the Father, that the one who sees me and believes will have eternal life. To a Protestant, when Christ ascended 2,000 years ago, you can't see him anymore. What are they going to do? Jesus says you must see him. How do you see him? In the Blessed Sacrament. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. Only way you'll have life within you. That's all spiritual. That's all spiritual. Yes, a physical reality of the accidents, bread and wine, but the substance truly changed, body, blood, soul, divinity, spiritual. That's the heart of our Catholic life. Let us live our lives to that spiritual heart, especially now. Now that indeed, as Benedict apparently observed back in 2015, we're living in the time of Antichrist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.